This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It is World AIDS Day 2025, and if you've ever driven along the Yarra at Fairfield and noticed those old hospital buildings, it used to be Fairfield Infectious Diseases Hospital, now a TAFE, and one of the central places where Victoria faced the HIV/AIDS crisis. And behind those wards was a small garden created by volunteers and staff, a place where people sat, cried, laughed, remembered, and where some families chose to scatter ashes. And tonight for World AIDS Day, we're stepping back into that time with someone who lived it. HIV clinical nurse consultant Judy Frecker was on those wards in 1983, caring for people long before the wider community even understood what was happening, including the man described then as Victoria's patient zero. And her compassion shaped the way care was given in those early years. Judy, thank you so much for joining us on Drive.
Thank you. Thank you for the intro.
Now,
very nice.
Take us back to 1983, to Fairfield Hospital. Where were you in your young nursing career?
I trained at Fairfield in 1980 as an enrolled nurse. So I was still working as an enrolled nurse back then in 83. I later on went on to do my general.
Continue.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, yes, I was an enrolled nurse at the time.
When you picture those first days, Judy, what's, I suppose, the image that comes back to you most clearly with the presentation of patient zero?
Very skinny, mostly young men. That's the picture. So the first fellow, whose name I still remember, came in, was, I know, a friend of mine. We were looking after him and she said, oh, if we get this one, we're in trouble. And it was because it was an infectious diseases hospital and we were used to that sort of thing.
Mm.
But this was different because nobody knew much about it. I think initially we used paper plates and only the nurses went into the patient's room, but that changed very quickly, very quick to for that sort of thing to stop. But we always wore gowns. And that's what we always did at the infectious disease hospital. Didn't matter if you had AIDS, if you had a return traveller, if you had diarrhoea, gowns were what we wore on the ward when we went in to look after a patient. That was standard. So it wasn't anything special that we did. Does that make sense?
What was Fairfield like as a hospital to work at?
I used to describe Fairfield Hospital as like a country practice. Remember that series?
Mm.
It was like a country hospital city. So if you're in the nurse's home, you'd look out. It was just bush you were looking out at and across to the Yarra. And it was a small hospital. A lot of people didn't leave. They stayed there for a long time. It was initially, just before I came along, Vivian Bullwinkle was the matron, and it was run like an army hospital. We had lovely khaki green uniforms. Thank you, Vivian. And I think the coming of AIDS changed the hospital a bit because we never had many deaths before, and then we were having deaths and they were young people, and there were nurses that were interested in working there that maybe wouldn't have worked there before.
Now, everything was so new and uncertain at that time. What were you being told as staff, and I suppose what were you quietly thinking or feeling yourself?
Look, it's a long way back to remember what we've been told, but what we called barrier nurse to everybody. And I know that sometimes if people were married or had children, if they didn't want to look after someone with AIDS, they didn't, or GRID as it was called then, they didn't have to. But like I said, that sort of stuff quickly changed at the hospital. But we as young nurses, and we were young, and the guys coming in the revolving door were mostly young. We just looked after them. I don't think there was anybody that was there before AIDS first presented its ugly head that any of us said, no, we're not going to look after that person. We all did. But we were very aware that that there was a chance that we could get it if we got a needle stick, or in the very beginning we weren't even 100% sure how it was passed on, but we were pretty sure it was sex and blood. But we were just careful. And it's how we've been trained very well by those army nurses.
Judy, you were losing young people week after week. How did you and the other staff carry that grief yet still turn up for the next shift?
Look, I was talking about that with someone today, and I think we just carried on. We just kept on doing. We used to go to the pub, we used to drink, and even though it was a terrible time and people came in very sick or got very sick, we also had a lot of fun. Like, the guys used to play tricks on us sometimes. We became their family. you sort of just kept going. I can't even remember exactly what we did, but we were young. We used to go out. They introduced us to a whole world that a lot of us had never heard of or been part of. We used to get free entry into places. We were nurses. We liked a couple of drinks. So if it was free entry to something where we'd get some drinks, we were off. But we also were a tight group, and I think there was no such thing at the very beginning about debriefing and all that sort of stuff. I think we did that with each other a lot. And we're still connected, a lot of the guys that worked at Fairfield Hospital in those early days.
I think that's absolutely fascinating. Judy, let's talk about the AIDS Memorial Garden. How did that come about?
Well, that came along later, and I wasn't really, because I was just working on the wards.
Mm.
I can't really remember a lot of people, because that became their home, and that was beautiful. I don't know if everybody's been to Fairfield, but it was a beautiful ground. We had peacocks, there were ducks. And it was on the edge of the Yarra. You could sit there. It was really calming. And it became people's homes. And then they built the chapel that I think Lady Potter helped get that going. So people wanted funerals there and then wanted to stay at Fairfield. So the garden was created. And I do believe at the beginning they weren't supposed to scatter ashes there, but people did. But I could be wrong, but that's the story I've been told. But it's still there, and it's kept alive by Polytechnic horticultural students. And it's really, they're keeping that history alive, and people can still have funerals there, like have their ashes scattered there. It's a really peaceful place, that part of their funeral.
What was were many of the people that were in there with HIV who were dying, I mean, let's say there were no treatments at the time or very few, were they disowned by their families? How did some of the families react?
Look, some people just didn't tell their family at all. Some people did. I know some were rejected, but people weren't all rejected. But if you went to their funeral, it was never mentioned what they died of or what they had. And it was kind of, I remember sometimes it being a bit of, felt like a clash of cultures, because if the parent was there and then all this young man's friends were there, it was just that they were always separate from that life. So it was a bit of a clash, I think, sometimes. But some people were alone and were just, or their new family, like their gay family, were who looked after them.
That must have been.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. That must have been quite sort of a bit of an eye-opener to see that people's reactions, you know, you're at a funeral and someone's passed away, but no one mentions what happened. Everyone's too afraid because of the stigma. As a health professional, was that quite shocking to realise how powerful stigma can be, or was stigma often associated with infectious diseases?
Look, I think there was always a bit of stigma with infectious diseases, especially STIs, but HIV was another level, as if anyone can remember back to those days, terrible people like Fred Nile and what they would say, and in public it was just terrible. But it was the first time I ever remember anyone ask me where I worked, and they stepped back when they realised where I was, or if I did agency work, which I did sometimes because I was saving to go overseas, and they found out where I worked, I'd get told by other older nurses, oh, you shouldn't work there, you'll die, like just ridiculous stuff. But for the young fellows that had HIV, it was terrible. And because in those days you looked unwell and you were young, I think made it 1,000 times worse. So I like to think that Fairfield, or we tried to like we looked after people the same as we would anybody else, and I hope they all found it a bit of a haven and a place where they were just accepted. And, you know, we tried not to treat them any differently.
I remember the grounds, and you mentioned the peacocks earlier. I remember seeing the peacocks there, and it was just so tranquil and beautiful. Obviously, Fairfield Hospital closed. It wasn't just a hospital. I mean, it became a refuge, a community hub, and for many, the safest place they'd ever known. When the closure of Fairfield was announced in the mid-90s, what do you remember about that moment for the staff and for the people that you cared for?
It was terrible. There were lots of protests, trying to keep it open. But, you know, Jeff Kennett made up his mind it was just going to go. And I think the culture that we bred, that happened there, was never really transported to other. So I think it was to a degree, but it was never going to be the same. Because Bepa was very protected, and because of the gardens, because of its position, it was very much a place where you could be in your room and then just wander around outside and not see anybody else. Like, you could just sit outside, just be peaceful, or go down to the chapel, or go down the back to the gardens, or just sit outside. It was lovely. Like, even when I go in there today, I just feels nice. It's just it was a great place.
And very calming. We're chatting with HIV clinical nurse consultant Judy Frecker about her memories of Fairfield Infectious Diseases Hospital, the AIDS Memorial Garden, and the impact of the hospital's closure. Judy, with treatments and prevention so advanced now, how does today's progress sit alongside the memories you still carry from those early years?
I can't believe it's amazing. We can do one tablet a day. We can do an injection, well, two injections that are a bit painful, apparently, once every 2 months. But the biggest thing since those days that I love telling people that are newly diagnosed is U equals U. It's so powerful. It makes you feel, you know, you can just go and make babies if you want. You can do what you want. U equals U is one of the biggest things, other than treatment, obviously, since HIV was around, because people were always so stigmatised about, I can catch it from you, I can catch it from you. And now they know that nobody can if your viral load's less than 200. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
But it would be even better if we had a cure. And I think there's still plenty of stigma around. There's self-stigma. And I just worry with all the political carry-on now and the Trump effect that it might get worse again. I hope it doesn't, but sometimes I think that it might.
Lisa in Frankston says, my brother died at Fairfield Hospital in 1989. Thank you for letting this history be heard. Judy, for people living with HIV today who might feel forgotten, what message do you want them to hear from someone who's been part of this journey since the very beginning?
That they're okay, that with treatment, that you should be okay. Like, there's still, and that if you're on the right treatment, you're getting the right care, you've got choices where you can go for care. You can go to GPs, S100 GPs, you can go to a hospital clinic if you feel safe. You have a visit once a year, maybe twice a year, if your drugs are working. And mostly that there's still a lot of work going on for cure. And I would hope before I retire that that there's a cure. I don't know if that'll happen, but I hope so.
We do hope. Judy, if you think about it now, if we go back to the patient zero days and the fear, that fear in the community, I mean, it's hard to describe what that fear was like. We played the Grim Reaper ad earlier, and it all came back, just how scared everyone was. I mean, there's always going to be, you know, we had COVID, there's going to be new infectious diseases coming. What would you say about stigma in itself and the impact that it has with an infectious diseases? And how can we ensure that we don't stigmatise something, whether it be a virus or a bacteria that comes along, and we don't stigmatise it like we did to HIV?
We need to listen to the people that know what they're talking about. Dr. Google doesn't always know what they're talking about. That these diseases any of us can catch. We're just lucky. All of us, or most of us, have had sex before. We haven't got HIV. We're lucky. It's not, you know, I think people think in Australia, because of our response was so quick and the governments were working together, that it was more in the gay community. But worldwide, it's a heterosexual disease. So we're just lucky we haven't got it. And I think people need to remember that people don't go out searching to get diseases. And that includes COVID, that includes HIV, that includes other stuff. It just happens. And you can't blame someone for catching something. Does that
absolutely
make sense? I don't think I've expressed myself.
No, you've expressed yourself really well, Judy. I want to thank you for taking us back to those wards and to that garden. I visited the garden earlier. It's a very tranquil spot, and I'd encourage everyone to head to the back of the Melbourne Polytechnic, it is now, the Fairfield campus, the old Fairfield Infectious Diseases Hospital. Go out the back.
Yep, and every year, probably about a week before, like this year it was last Friday, they have a history tour of the garden where they have a, somebody talking in the chapel, and then you go on for a walk through the gardens with people talking about it, and the horticultural guys from Polytechnic talking about what they're doing in the garden. If anybody wants to go, there'll be one next year at the end of November as well.
And I'm glad someone's taking care of it. And Judy, thank you also from everyone in the community for the decades of compassion, care and strength you've given everyone. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you. That was HIV clinical nurse consultant Judy Frecker sharing her memories of Fairfield Infectious Diseases Hospital on this World AIDS Day 2025.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.